We consider, evaluate, and postulate everything. Welcome to Capacity Cast with your hosts, Michael and Scott. Let's get started. All right, today I'm talking with Chris. Michael is away on work-related issues. Today we're going to talk about 3D printing. A lot of stuff to that. I don't know too much, but Chris knows a lot, and he has been going hardcore on all of this 3D printing stuff.
A little bit. It's insane. It looks like there's a lot going on over there.
When did you start getting into it?
Well, here's the fun part. So I bought my first 3D printer this July.
Okay. So not that much time.
No.
I've been reading about it for the last probably year and a half to 2 years because my friend Brad Hancock and Andrew, I'm bad with last names. They all have 3D printers. And when I first started playing D&D, which was a couple years ago, I went over to Andrew's and he had a 3D printed dice tray. It's just that pink dice tray up there. It's got fold out arms. It looks like a big castle.
I see that, and it rolls down the...
It's got a little slot on both sides. You can roll on one half or the other, so two people sitting next to each other can use it. And he sold it to me for... He printed me one while we're playing board games at his house, and he sold it for me like, I don't know, 10 or 20 bucks. I forget what I gave him for it, and it was awesome. I was like, man, this is cool. And then Brad at the time had a really, like a home... almost. It wasn't a really homebrew, but it was like the super kit. Almost all the components. I mean, even the board itself isn't put together. So you have to do all that. And then you kind of get it working.
A lot of assembly required.
Yeah, you kind of get it working, and then it prints better parts for itself once you get it working. Prices were insane. I mean, just to get into a cheap printer even 2 years ago was about $1,000 for something that wouldn't blow up your house.
Especially when they run for hours and hours, you want it to be reliable enough that you don't want it to set fire.
And they still do. I mean, so that cheap one, the one that's sitting on the chair that I just pulled off the shelf today because I had to make room for the new one, that's normally $299, I think, on sale, which is literally like once every 2 months, it's for like $250. But you have to do a $10 modification to it or it is a fire hazard. There's no fuse to the heat bed. So if the heat bed stops, like there's a little thermistor which reads the temperature. If that ever dies, it thinks it's at 0 degrees. So then it'll continue. Yeah. Thermal runaway will kick in and you'll get a min temp error and it won't stop itself. It'll just continue heating up until it tries to reach above 0 degrees.
Yeah. That sounds...
And it sets the house on fire.
What's the website you get them on?
Amazon. So Amazon sells the MOSFET. It's $8. It's an $8, and then you got to print about $1 in mods, and you have to have 4 screws.
Okay.
So it ends up being $10.
Where do you buy these from? Is it Amazon too, or
no? So I bought the Monoprice. So the one that just came down is the Monoprice Maker Select V2. Awesome printer because it's great for learning. It comes completely assembled besides the top brace and the bed. You just literally put two pieces together, put 4 screws in, attach the spool holder, and you're printing in like 20-30 minutes. Nice. Besides, it's fire hazard status, it's a really nice printer. And you learn because it starts out being okay. The print quality it's adequate. But then as you put time into printing new parts for it, it becomes as good as a $1,000 printer in terms of quality. It just can't print fast because it's not mechanically sound. So the new one I got, that one is $799.
Oh,
those are a little bit more. So the two on the left, which are the original Prusa, you have to state original Prusa. What's cool about 3D printing, which I loved about it, was it's completely open source. So the people who invented 3D printing, when the patents ended, it was a community that came together and they problem solved how to make a marketable 3D printer for the home. And they came up with one of the first ones was like a Mendel style, which is, I mean, it literally looks like a Kinex system and Lincoln Logs put together. And it works. I mean, it prints. And they figured it out. And this guy, Joseph Prusa, came up with the Prusa style printer, which uses a bed that moves in the Y axis, a Z axis, and the X axis is perpendicular to the Y axis. So the bed and the Z move, the Z just moves upwards. And that's called a Prusa, but because it's completely open source and he believed in that complete open source project, every printer you buy that the Y axis moves front and back is a Prusa style printer. So literally everyone calls themselves a Prusa or a Prusa i3.
Okay.
Because they're trying to chip in on the few bucks that they can get saying, oh, that's a Prusa.
Yeah, the name recognition.
And the ones on the left are the Mark II S's. So that was their third iteration in the series. They had the original Prusa i3 and then the Mark, so it was Mark I, Mark II, and then a Mark IIs. They're probably the best bang for the buck in a high quality printer because they put technology that's not in there. So like my $250 printer, even with all the mods, manual bed leveling, you have to babysit it because every other print you print, once you pull something off it or you change the temperature on the bed, it moves the bed. So the bed
has even slight changes affect the end result. Yeah, makes sense.
Heavily. So you're sitting there, there's little thumb screws at four corners of the bed, and you're sitting there adjusting it. I mean, even the middle of a print, you're like, oh no, the corner's a little low or too high. And
yeah, that's not a way to really get decent quality, it sounds like.
Not going to sell to the masses, which that's the goal of the whole project, is to people should have these in their home.
So mods-wise, you're talking about mods here. I see some IKEA tables you mentioned.
Yeah, the IKEA LAC coffee table. It is a really popular table that the 3D printing community uses to build as a, basically as a enclosure. So people used to print exclusively in ABS plastic, which needs an enclosure. So you need, you know, doors and walls because it's very temperature sensitive because it warps quickly. So they try to find a cheap way. And an IKEA LAC table, if you go down to IKEA, I think it's $9.99 just for four legs and a top. If you buy two, you get a bottom and the four corners and the thing. And you can print corners and throw biplexi glass. And I mean, I think it's under $50 or under $60. You basically can print and design your own fully enclosed printer cabinet.
Yeah, put some walls on it. I could see that working.
Yep. And then it gets to temp. So whatever temp's inside there is trapped and you get less bed warping.
So why did you build the additional leg segments for the biggest one? What was the purpose of that? Just to have more room?
More room. So I built the first one, the one that's in the middle there. I just built the corner connectors, or I printed the corner connectors. I didn't design them or anything. I just printed the corner connectors because it was simple. Put it together, and I realized there's just not a lot of headroom in there. So when the nozzle goes all the way up to the Z-axis, it's about a centimeter away from touching the top of the, I guess, the bottom of the top. And it almost pinches the filament. I guess I got to go into this story. The only reason I have two of those on the left is because I ordered a part. I ordered a spare part for a printer because there was a little bit of wobble on one of the sides, so I ordered a new motor. Well, I didn't get a new motor. The box showed up, and it was an entire printer. They accidentally sent me another printer instead of the part.
Wow.
They put my name on it and put my invoice in it, and it said you paid, you know, $90 for a couple motors with rails attached to it and everything. And no, it was an entire printer. I did the good thing and I messaged them. I have a contact on Facebook, and I was like, because these come from Prague. And these aren't local sourced. Joseph Prusa is from Prague, and hence his name doesn't sound very American, but mine doesn't either.
The melting pot.
Yep. So yeah, I got the second one, and I was like, well, crap, I have to build another thing for it. I guess I'll design a 9 centimeter taller legs so I can get my height I want in there, and it's perfect. So yeah, so for really cheap, you can make a little enclosure out of some IKEA furniture and some plastic that you use on your printer.
You were mentioning with the newest version of the printer, even the bed, they changed the bed, they changed the motors.
Everything's changed. So the best thing about the RepRap project, which is the project that all these come from, is there's a hive mind. There's hundreds of people that are, not hundreds, probably thousands of people all, you know, printing. Mm-hmm. And when they come up with a solution to a problem, it's public.
Okay.
And they believe in this, where we're not going to get into an era where 3D printing is literally, you know, like a toaster.
Yeah.
If we don't help each other, because there's no company spending billions of dollars in the 3D printing industry. They came up with problem-solving things. You know, printers are loud. So no one's going to want printers in their home if they make a ton of noise, you know, more than their TV or whatever. So they put in these new Triominic 2130 drivers, which is basically just a fancy word for a better stepper driver, which makes the exact same motor move more silently, but also gives it smart things. So collision detection, it knows when there's an issue. They added laser sensing technology, so it knows when there's filament, or if it runs out of filament, it knows, hey, you ran out. You know, we just saw that. I didn't have enough filament in there, and it goes, hey, I ran out. I'm going to eject this filament and put more into me.
Yeah, it sounds like the technology is advancing really rapidly, so you have to keep buying a new printer just to get things that do seem very useful.
Yep.
From that perspective, it saves you a lot of time, or it saves you, or it gives you higher quality stuff in the end, which is great.
I think a lot of the people will say that the quality is plateaued. It's getting better incrementally, but what has been really boosted in the last year or two is reliability. So these things, like all these sensors, and so another cool thing, because of that driver again and the motors, because it has this fancy motor and all these, you know, technology in it, it actually doesn't need what's called an end stop. It doesn't have to have a mechanical switch to say, I hit the end of something.
Okay.
It actually can feel that it hit the end of something and be like, oh yeah, that's the end of my rail. So it won't shoot past and keep driving the motor into the end. It'll just go, oh, I hit the end of something. Mm-hmm. Which is the craziest thing, that when you turn it on and you first calibrate and it's like slamming the, I mean, it's not slamming, but it's speeding up, and then it just touches the edge of where it needs to and it goes, I'm done. How that works, I don't want to know, but it's amazing.
That's cool. So project-wise, I know you're into D&D. I also do some. We've talked a little bit about it on the show in the past. And you've been printing miniatures.
And terrain.
Okay.
So yeah, I hang out with Brad, the guy I got into 3D printing with. He had been DMing for a while and has played D&D for a while. And I had played when I was in college a little bit, but it was pretty sporadic. And I was like, oh, okay. I mean, that was back before Pathfinder.
Yeah.
Because we played Pathfinder because it's free. But we started playing D&D and he got me 3D printing. And I was like, oh man, imagine being able to print your own things for D&D, because they're expensive. I mean, if you go look at the figs, they're from $5 to $20 a piece. You know, I can 3D print it for less than a dollar.
Yeah.
And there's even a guy online that...
And your stuff is custom.
It is custom. Yeah. You can go to a couple websites. So Hero Forge lets you design your own character. Mm-hmm. And then for $5 or $10, you can download the digital file to print. Okay. So if you have a friend with a printer, or they could print it for $40. But they do a better... They do the resin printing, which I don't do yet. But yeah, I print the figures, I print the stuff, and like I'll grab things. Like we did a battle the other day and we had a dragon, and there's, I mean, I just grabbed the dragon off the
Or Yoda.
Off the shelf. You could put Yoda on there, Frankenstein, Darth Vader, Pickle Rick. Next time there's a ghost, I do have the glow-in-the-dark.
You mentioned glow-in-the-dark filament.
Yep. So. They've nerded it out for us. I mean, glow-in-the-dark, metal fills, carbon fibers, Kevlars. That's the cool thing about 3D printers is whatever you can design or someone else can design, you should be able to print it. There's a big cat over there. I mean, I'll just grab stuff. One of the cool things I print, not cool, but one of the things I print are test cubes. So you can see the little XYZ cube. Mm-hmm. It just tells you if there's something off on your XYZ axis, but... One of the fun creatures in D&D is a gelatinous cube. So I have all these cubes from testing the printers.
Yeah.
So I just keep them, and the test cubes become gelatinous cubes.
That works.
Yeah, so moving forward, where do you think you're going to go with the 3D printing stuff?
Get rid of some, because I don't need that many, and add a resin printer. Because I do want... The quality you get out of a resin printer is insanity.
I've read a little bit about it, and I've seen resin was really high up on the quality scale.
Yeah. The only downfall is it is stinky and sticky and smelly.
A little more extra effort. You have to dip it in something usually to smooth it out?
Yep. Or... It just depends on what version, what kind you have. But yeah, the resins need to be dipped in isopropyl alcohol post being sent through, because there's two versions. So there's DLP, which uses basically a high-end screen, and the white of the screen is... enough light to cure the plastic, but it needs more curing, and they're all UV cured. So once you pull it out, you clean off the leftover resin with some little bit of isopropyl alcohol and a toothbrush, and you can literally set it outside for an hour.
Oh,
and the UV is enough, or you can build a little.
Okay.
You can buy UV lights and put it inside a little aluminum foil chamber and basically put it in there to cure. But yeah, the resin itself is sticky. It smells. It's got an acrid smell. I mean, my buddy's a toy maker, Killer Bootlegs, and so Peter Gorl, Killer Bootlegs, he makes. There's actually one of his figures somewhere in there.
I'll put a link in the podcast notes.
Oh, he has such cool stuff. But yeah, he works with resin constantly, and it is not a fun smell. The technology is still very expensive for that. I mean, it's even the laser-based are the cheapest, and they're still in the, I think the cheapest you get is like $4.99, but that one's not very good. About $1,000 is where you're going to be at minimum, and that one's really nice.
That's to get better resolution than these types?
Oh, yeah, easily, because the best resolution you get is about 50 microns.
Okay.
So 0.05 millimeters. The laser ones will go down to, I think, 15 microns, so 0.015 millimeters, and then if you go DLP, it's whatever the resolution is of the screen. So, I mean, if there's one actually that came out that actually is based on your cell phone screen, I mean, if you got an iPhone, whatever, or the latest Samsung product or whatever product, as they get better at their screen and they get 440 DPI or whatever they do now, that means your printer is that high of a resolution.
Oh, so it uses the cell phone
screen as the actual print screen.
Oh, I had no idea. I never heard of that one.
Yeah, that one, I wish I could remember the name of it. Huh. It was a Kickstarter, and it's been 2 years. They haven't shipped anything yet, but they were just at New York Maker Faire.
and they had a working model. They finally had figured out how to make it work.
There must be so much variation to that because screens aren't the same. You have the OLEDs and you have the regular LCDs, and seems like that variation would make it really difficult.
Yep. Yeah, they're basically trying to find a chart. I think the biggest problem for them is, again, they're trying to find a chart of settings based on screen brightness and screen technologies. You basically would go in the software and be like, this is what I have, and it will kind of give you a starting point.
Okay.
And then you can trim it. And of course, it also sucks. You can't use your phone for the hour it would take to print. So there's some drawbacks to that, but that doesn't mean you can do it for like $300.
Yeah, that's true.
Versus $1,000.
Sounds like a good compromise in that case.
Or buy a cheap used phone that doesn't really work as a phone anymore, and there's your screen.
Prepaid phones, get one for $100, but they're not. They're usually 720p resolution.
Yep.
So any other ideas moving forward you want to do with 3D printing?
Yeah, so there is I forget the name of the chair. The coolest thing I've ever seen, and I really want to get into it, which is why I have multiple printers, because it's downtime. If it's printing, you can't use it. But there's a charity where you 3D print prosthetics for children.
Okay.
Because insurances are really horrible.
Yeah.
We won't get into that.
Insurances, definitely. Yeah.
Let's just say that these children who are born without a hand, or they lose a hand or an arm, as long as they have everything up a little bit past the elbow, you can 3D print a working prosthetic where if they bend their elbow, it closes the hand.
Nice.
With a 3D printer, I think the cost for you as a printer is $20, $30, versus the children have to spend anywhere from $2,000 to $10,000 for a prosthetic because the insurance won't cover it. Because it's not necessary. If they have the other hand, I don't understand the logic, but let's just say the logic isn't there. We'll all agree that this is an awesome
thing. It sounds really interesting, and even if they break it, it's not a big deal to replace it.
It is not.
Case.
You just reprint, and then as they grow, you reprint parts.
True.
I mean, you can literally send them with a kit of, okay, when they grow past this arm size, just here's the bigger piece.
Yeah,
here's a longer hand. And I mean, it's so inexpensive. And there's a guy out in the UK, I can't remember the name, it has something to do with his shed. It's like Love from the Shed or something like that, where that's all him and his friends do is they 3D print prosthetics for children in the UK.
Nice.
And it's huge. And they'll be like, hey, kids, what colors do you want? And they'll be like, I want Iron Man colors. And you literally 3D print them a golden red, 3D printed a hand and arm. And you're like the happiest you've ever seen them. So
are those whistles done over there?
The whistles are done.
So we have one whistle with gray and, or was it silver and
silver
pink?
And pink.
Yeah, so multiple colors.
Yep. You have a multicolor gear up there too, a white and pink one, because I ran out of white the other day.
But with your new one, it seems like you could easily change colors just by the feature that it has with that.
Yeah, with that laser, you can just snip it and be like, and once it runs to the end, it's like, oh, please put new filament in me, and shoots out the old color and put the new color in. Oh, I couldn't believe that's actually a thing. When that feature got announced, I was so happy, because a lot of us are scared to print because you don't know how much is left on your spool. So you'd be like, okay, I think I have enough on my spool, you know, and it could be a 12-hour print. So it's like, you can't baby it for 12 hours. I mean, they do. You can, but I'd rather just be like, if it runs out, it'll just wait for me until the day I show up the next day or 2 days later and just put new filament in and it'll resume automatically for me.
That's really interesting about the prosthetic thing. And I think that is a great thing for so many people. 3D printers are very widespread even now. And the average Joe can go and do that, which is great.
I mean, they could even buy one. And once you get them set up, they can print whatever they need to keep them going.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
And it'll be one of my favorite YouTube celebrities. His name is Angus. He's from Australia, and it's Maker's Muse is his YouTube channel. And he has I don't think it's finished yet. He's got a little series he's running where he wants to be able to get a makerspace at the same price as an Xbox One S.
Oh, wow.
So for under $500, a printer, all the tools, a computer, the software. I mean, software's free. I mean, that's the cool thing about 3D printers. Literally, everything's open source. So, and it runs on all the platforms. So if you run Mac, Windows, or Linux, you will find software to run it. Even the design software, the highest-end design software, I mean, we're not talking SolidWorks, but we're talking Fusion 360, which is from AutoCAD. It's free as long as you sign up as a student or a hobbyist.
Okay.
So as long as you're not making $100,000 a year in 3D design, you can use one of the best software. The video series is awesome because, I mean, he showed a couple printers, a couple things, like here's where you can cut corners. And it's really interesting because, I mean, if I was a kid and I was given the opportunity to learn how to do this, I think I would have done it. I just grew up in an era where
Legos back in the day.
Yeah. I mean, Legos were your first 3D printers, except you eventually run out of blocks. This, you can just print more blocks. They're not called Legos because we're not going to get into copyright infringement.
Or Mega Blocks.
Or Mega Blocks. They're just called blocks.
Yeah.
With a CKS. because I think Blocks LOX is probably also copyrighted at some point.
Yeah, that's true. So that's really interesting, and I think in the future we can definitely talk more about 3D printing.
Oh, yeah. It's going to keep growing.
Again, thanks to Chris for talking with me, with Michael out of the picture for the moment. Hopefully he'll be back.
He'll be back.
Yep, sounds good. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to another episode of CapacityCast. You can hear more episodes at CapacityCast.com.